وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. In this program, we would like to look at human rights in all aspects, and obviously we want to look at it from an Islamic perspective. That's the aim and the idea. Now, we have discussed in previous episodes that Muslims themselves, when they migrate to other countries, we see that they either persecuted or either at least harassed for the faith, for the beliefs, for many things. They get labeled, as we can see around the world, and that's not something that requires me to elaborate on. I mean, you could just watch the news and read about what we call these days Islamophobia. So Muslims around the world, when they migrate to non-Muslim countries, they face a lot of problems, and most of them are a direct violation of our human rights. Now, let's assume for argument's sake, what if the Westerners would want to come and migrate to the Muslim lands? Does Islam protect their rights or not? Or not to even make it a hypothetical situation, but the reality is, non-Muslims have lived with Muslims before Islam, during Islam, and after the establishment of Islam, and until today. How do Muslims, oh, actually, I should rephrase that, how does Islam look at non-Muslims? Now, this is the topic we would want to discuss in this episode, and hopefully in the episodes to come. First of all, when we look at Islam, because Islam is the constitution that tells people how to act and how to preserve the right of others, be it Muslims or non-Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when He looks at Islam as a whole, as a constitution, He says, هَذَا بَصَائِرٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. So this is in chapter Al-Jathiyah, verse 20. Allah says in this, there's a guidance to man, Linnas. He did not say to the Muslims, to the believers. Rather, He says in Islam, in the Quran, in the teachings of the Quran, guidance and mercy, not just guidance, guidance and mercy to all mankind. For those who want to submit, for those who want to have certainty, yuqinun is to have certainty. So when you look at Islam, Islam says, well, fair enough, what I have, it is for all people, Muslims and non-Muslims, in the same way that I will preserve and protect the rights of Muslims, I will also save and protect the rights of non-Muslims. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes He says, the problem is not with Islam itself, the problem is with people. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the straight path, the perfect religion. However, Allah says, وَلَكِنْ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, most people don't know. This is in chapter Ar-Rum, verse 30. So Islam is the best religion to protect human rights for Muslims and non-Muslims. So we can see that when it comes to human rights, we can't overlook Islam. being a religion, a dominant religion, the most or the fastest growing religion in the world, and there is 1.6 billion people who believe in it, how do they view human rights for at least for non-Muslims? Before we dive into this topic, let us take a short break and then we will continue this discussion.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are looking at the human rights, and specifically of non-Muslims in an Islamic country. When we look at Islam as a whole, Islam classified non-Muslims on based on different categories. However, before we dive into that and look at the different categories of the Muslims in the Quran, today we hear many people from here and here trying to attack Islam, trying to defame Islam and Muslims, that they violate the human rights, and especially when it comes to non-Muslims. And most of the times, actually, all of the times when they do that, without any evidence or without any proof, it's just talk. When you ask them to prove what they say from a Quran perspective or from the Hadith perspective, they don't. Rather, they utilize a terrorist group that carries out actions under the name of Islam, and they say, well, there's Islam for you, there is Muslims for you. Now, this is the most ignorant way of looking at things. You can't hold an entire faith, or at least 1.6 billion Muslims, accountable for the actions of few. This is an argument that, like any logical person, would reject. Even a child would reject such an argument. So we want to look at it from our perspective. If you read the book, The Story of Civilization, the author himself, he says, because we're talking about a person who is educated, who has read, I mean, it's one of the best books ever written, The Story of Civilization. When he looks at Islam, he says himself that when Islam came, there were Christians, there were Zardashians, there were Jews, there were people from other religions. And he says they never prospered, these religions, under any government more than Islam. When Islam came, gave them the absolute freedom to practice their faith, to establish their churches, synagogues, and whatever they wanted, and gave them absolute freedom. While that freedom that Islam gave to non-Muslims, in most of the countries in our civilized world today, in the 21st century, Muslims are deprived of it. Their mosques are constantly being watched, being monitored. The imams, those who are in charge, are constantly being pressured for what they say. Sometimes you find a lot of places of worship gets closed because the government deems it to be a terrorist place, and so on and so forth, where you find a lot of Muslims can't practice their faith. Compared to Islam, when it came, it gave an absolute freedom to people to practice their faith under an Islamic government. So Islam came to establish two important pillars of human rights. One is to protect the dignity of humans in general. Not for him being a Muslim, but for him being a human. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he looks at people or humans, he looks at them as a whole, not as a specific nation or a specific minority or a specific religion. He looks at it as a complete package. So all humans, their dignity is preserved under an Islamic state or an Islamic system. That's one. Two, Islam protected the freedom of faith. You can believe whatever you want to believe. There is no harm in that. لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ. Have your faith and I have mine. We leave it here and inshallah we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.
اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله